All right, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and it is a privilege and an honor to be able to preach tonight. We had a lot of people up from down from Orville, and we appreciate the musicians, of course. You wouldn't have wanted to hear me try to do any of that. Sounds real loud up here. I don't know if that's just me or if that's... Alright. And then we have Tom and Deborah came down, surprised us, and we have Tom and Bonnie and their son Sam. I hadn't met Sam yet and met them, and if I'm forgetting anybody else, I apologize, but it was good to meet you. And I know I've met Brother John before, but I was very young at that time, and our son Ben got saved last year in up in Canton. And so that's another crown. That's another one added on there that we would not be here if it were not for faithful people of yesterday. And that's one of them right there. And I do not say that lightly at all. All right. And so we are here because of somebody telling somebody about the Lord. And so that is, I am very, very honored to be here, tonight around some of you Christians. All right. We're going to keep it very simple tonight. Genesis chapter 12. And we're just going to look at verse 1 and verse 4, and we're going to keep it very simple. I just want to preach a message to you and lay it out before you. Three very simple points. Three places a Christian must get to. Three places a Christian must get to. Now, I looked on your website to make sure I wasn't being too repetitive, and I saw your pastor preach, back to Bethel, or something like that, and so we're not talking about Bethel. Now, I did see Brother Ionello preached on Kidron. We're going to make a mention of Kidron, but we're going to stay away from the things he talked about. So I think we're good, and I think you're going to get something fresh and new here tonight, something that is maybe not too repetitive, but very simple. Three places a Christian must get to. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, and God's Word says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house." And notice it, the way that grammar works, get thee out and get thee unto. And those are going to be our points tonight. Get thee out and get thee unto. Unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. God likes to see things grow. Who made plants? Who made trees? Who made babies? God did. Who had us to be saved, to be pictured as being born again, and then as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow there? That's God. And I've made this statement before. I'm sure I've made it here before. If I were God, I would have planted Adam and Eve at the middle a 50-yard line of a football field and put shoulder pads on them, and that's what would interest me more than a garden. I'm not a garden person, all right? But God is. You know why? Because God likes to watch things grow. So if you're here tonight and you say, "I'm not a finished product, I'm not that cedar tree," you're growing. You're what God wants to see tonight. Just like He came down in Genesis chapter 12 and He saw Abram and He said, "I want you to be Abraham." He saw Abram with no children. And he said, "I want you to be a father of many nations. He came down and saw Abram where he was and wanted to take him somewhere else. But for that to happen, for progress to take place, Abram had to get somewhere. In order for him to get somewhere, he had to leave where he was. God doesn't care more about Abram or Abraham than He does you or I, or your children, or your grandchildren, or your neighbor, or your loved one, or your Sunday school kids, or those on your bus or van, or those that you're ministering to, the person sitting to your left or your right behind you. God cares about them, and He wants them to get out of something, and He wants them to get to somewhere. God came down to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, and He said, "Get thee unto." Get thee unto. First of all, it begs the question, why did God wait till Abram was 75 to tell him to leave Haran, to leave... you know what the main sin of that time was. Mainly the main sin of the Old Testament outside of pride, I guess. Idolatry. Get out of that idolatry. I cannot bless you in idolatry. I will not share my name with those idols. I don't want you saying they're the reason you're blessed or they're the reason you got... You got to get out of your family heritage. You got to get out of that idolatrous stuff. You got to get out of there. But why did God wait till Abram was 75? The answer is given in a very small three-letter word. H-A-D. Notice it again twice in verse 1. Now the Lord had said... Look down at verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. The Lord didn't wait till Abram was 75. Abram waited till he was 75. You know, there's some things that the Lord has spoken to me. Some of them I'm doing pretty well on. Some of them, somebody's looking around going, well, why did God wait to give him that strength until now? He didn't. I did. The Lord had spoken. Too many times I find myself waiting for God to move. When God's waiting for me to get Him to. The Lord had said. Now, Abram departed at 75, but the Lord had said. Now, we don't know when. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are just, we're not given the answer to so that we can chew on it and the Holy Spirit can kind of work on it. You know, how old was the woman at the well? Was she a young woman, an older woman? Was she? We don't know. Who was the rich young ruler? Was it Barnabas? Was it Paul? Was it Mark? You know, who are... We're not told these things because God wants us to think about them and apply them in different ways. And so, the Lord had said to him, did He say it when he was 74? There's some things the Lord tells people at certain ages of life that make no sense to tell them at an earlier age. The Lord holds on to some things before He opens our eyes to some truth so that we can know it comes from Him, not from us. Maybe he was 74 when the Lord told him. Maybe he was 18. Maybe he was 8. Maybe he was 48. I don't know. But the Lord had said it. But He didn't do it till he was 75. Too often we put the blame on the Lord and let Abram out of it as to the blessings came so late. The answer came so late. The Lord had spoken. The Lord had said. If the Lord doesn't tell me anything more than He's already told me in my life, I'm good. I'm good. I did nothing to get the right Bible. This ESV. just in case someone listens, I'm joking. Alright. But I'm not the reason I have a King James Bible. I didn't teach myself the King James Bible was the true Word of God. I didn't do that. These hymnals, I didn't write a single one of those hymns. I'm blessed every service, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, by things that other people... I'm standing on the shoulders of so many that have come before me. I'm resting under the shade of trees that are grown from seeds that were planted in generations of the past that I had nothing to do with nurturing, watering, taking care of, keeping enemy forces away from, nurturing the growth of. I am benefiting from all these types of things. The Lord has spoken plenty. He doesn't owe me another explanation. He doesn't owe me another encouragement or constraining guidance. He has given me enough to be a successful husband, a successful father. If I'm sitting back going, God, why aren't you? The Lord has spoken. The Lord has spoken. He's been giving me a lot. The question is not, what more is He going to give me, or what more is He going to guide me into, or what more strength is He going to give, or what more? The question is, what am I doing with what He has already said? With what He has already said. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out. Get thee out. When the pastor said, we're taking the tent meeting indoors tonight, I thought, man, how is Lewis going to put that tent up in the auditorium? Now I understood he meant we're just going to be in the auditorium without the tent. We had to come out from the elements. The order was to get out. Wouldn't it be odd if someone's sitting in the tent right now? Wouldn't that be odd? Maybe their feet are in a puddle of water right now. Wouldn't that be odd? God came down to Abram and He said, get thee out. He cannot get him into the right place until he gets out of where he is. What did David say in Psalm 40? He's brought me up also out of a miry clay, out of the pit, and set my feet upon a rock. The new song, praise His name, then you shall see it. And what has to happen? You have to come out of the miry clay before you can get on the solid rock. And so before we can get anywhere, before we can discuss any progress, we've got to get the weight and the chains, the besetting sins, the things that are keeping us from progress, we've got to get them off. We've got to get out of the snares and the thorns. We did a study on a Wednesday night at our church some time ago. I think maybe it was a Sunday night. And we looked at how thorns and briars in Scripture are a type of people. Sometimes social circles and social events and trying to keep up with the Joneses and whatever the case might be, even trying to, in church, worrying about what somebody else might think about us or trying to just appease people's expectation level or whatever, we can get so bogged down and so worried about what other people are thinking or keeping up or having this or having that we're so busy and bogged. We've got to get out of that so that the Lord can guide us. We've got to get out before we can get to. There's some sins that the Lord has told me to get rid of. Well, He can't get me to the blessing. He can't get me to the fruit of the Spirit until I get out of the fruit of the flesh. There's now, therefore, Romans 8:1, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, who come out of that, then they can have the blessing things. Get thee out. Get thee out of the place of comfort and hesitation and apathy. Get thee out of the place of rebellion, fear and disobedience and discontentment. Get thee out of the wood, hay and stubble works. Get thee out of the besetting sin and the binding sin and the burdensome sin. Get thee out of the counsel of the ungodly, the way of sinners, the seat of the scornful, so you can be the blessed man. God has a place of quiet rest, fruitful fellowship, abiding joy, consistent walk. But you can't get there unless you get out of where you're at and you get out of the condition you're in. Perhaps you've tried to get out of some harmful habits, some negative thoughts, some painful memories. Perhaps you've tried to get out of some complacency. That's a problem for me. Perhaps you've tried to get out of certain sins before, but are entirely unable or have found yourself unable to do so. It reminds me of the man at the pool of Bethesda. He was just a stone's throw away from the water. The angel would come down and trouble the water. He was that close. But he didn't have the ability to get there until the Lord showed up. Perhaps that's you and perhaps that's me at times where we've tried to get out from the addiction. We've tried to get out of the thought processes that Satan just comes in and gets us on the same rut over and over and over again. Perhaps we've tried to get our family to take a step forward, and perhaps we've tried to change our testimony and the way that we act and react to certain things. Perhaps we've tried to get our tongue not to control us the way that it... Perhaps we've tried before, just like that man, but he said, how can I get there when the water is troubled, when the angel comes down? I don't have a man to help me. It reminds me of Job when he said, oh, that there was a daysman betwixt. Perhaps I'm trying, and I'm trying, and I'm trying. When the Lord shows up, I don't even need to get to the water. It's not a method, it's a man. It's not a 5-step, 10-step, 12-step program, it's a person. It's not in a plan, it's in a person. It's not in a method, it's in a man. To get me out, to get me out. You know, the Scripture does not say, cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's nowhere in your Bible. Does it say, cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you? It says, casting. 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 I've tried to get out of that thing, but I got back into it. And now we got to get out again. I've gotten rid of that burden and that care, and it's come back. Casting. Casting. As long as we're in this flesh, as long as we're in this body, we've got to get out. That early dew of morning has passed away at noon, the hymn writer said. That thing that I accomplished just a few hours ago, I need to do again. Get out. Get out. Get out. But I've fallen back in. Get out again. Just man falls 7 times, rises again. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get thee out. 3 places every Christian needs to get to. Very simple. We'll get there very quickly. And I want you just to take these things and chew on them. And allow the Holy Spirit to apply them to you better than I would possibly be able to do. Get thee out and get thee unto. Number one, a place every Christian needs to get to. Get thee to Calvary. Get thee to Calvary. If you're here tonight and you've never been to Calvary, you've been to a baptismal pool. You've been to church attendance. You've been to prayer. You've been to good family. You've been everywhere, but you haven't been to Calvary. You need to get to Calvary. What's holding you back? What do you need to get out of in order to get to Calvary? Pride holding me back from getting to Calvary? Well, everybody will know that I haven't been saved this whole time. It's hard sometimes for men to get saved in front of their wives. Get thee to Calvary. Get thee out of self-righteousness. Get thee out of hesitation. Folks, get thee out of bondage. Get thee out of grief. Get thee out of the burden of sin. I get tears in my eyes. My son loves to read Pilgrim's Progress. And when he's walking around on that burden, I'm miserable. Get that guy to Calvary. Get that guy to the cross. Get that burden off his shoulders. Get him out of that mire. Get him out of that mud. Get him out of that despair. Get him out of that guilt. Get him out of the waywardness and the lost condition. Get that guy to Calvary. What's holding you back? Get thee out of it. And get thee to Calvary. Christian, has it been a while since you've been to Calvary? I'm not talking about being saved again and again and again and again and again. I'm talking about remembering. Why do we do communion? Why do we do the Lord's Supper? To remember. What a great thing to have the one Bible that has the word Calvary in it. What a great thing to have hymns that talk about the cross and talk about Calvary and talk about, because every single one of us were saved at different points in our lives and had that different experience of maybe you got a gospel tract or maybe a preacher preached to you or maybe you were laying on your bed at night and you were remembering and the Spirit put conviction on you and that type of thing. But you go back to Calvary in your mind to that moment that burden rolled away from you and your sin debt was taken off of your account and you had that redemption. You know why it's a good place to get to for a saved person? Reconciliation. Reconciliation. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. There is a fountain. Get to Calvary. If you're saved here tonight, but you're distant from and your fellowship is broken. In John chapter 15, you're not abiding in the vine and you're separated. Your sins have separated you from God. And you know you have a home in heaven, but your guilty conscience and your dirty hands and your feet and that type of thing. Get thee to Calvary. How'd you get your sin debt taken care of the first time? Calvary. What about your practical sins that weigh heavy on you in this life? Calvary. Get thee to Calvary. Get thee to Calvary. It's a place of reconciliation. There's one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. Get thee to Calvary. It's a place of redemption. It's a place of reconciliation. I don't want to spend 2 seconds of my life separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about our practical walk and fellowship. I don't want to spend 2 seconds of this life away from Him. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. And my sin breaks my fellowship with my Savior and it takes away my joy and my song out of my soul. Get thee to Calvary. It's a place of reconciliation. Christian, it's a place of rest. You know what makes me sad when I get back into Genesis chapter 8, verse 6, 7, somewhere in there, and Noah's up on that third part of the ark there in the window and he sends out that dove and that dove flies throughout the whole world and cannot find rest for the sole of its feet. And I'm sad for that animal. But I'm more sad for all of the people, lost and saved, that I've come across in this life, that are running around this sin-cursed world and running around this sin-cursed earth trying to find rest for their soul. There's only one place where you can find rest for your soul, rest for the sole of your feet in salvation or service or any other thing. It's at Calvary. Get thee to Calvary. Get thee to Calvary. The things we learn in the shadow of the cross of Calvary. John Hamlin preached a message like that here once. That's my favorite subject. I mean, I could hear somebody preach about that all day long. What's learned at Calvary. Like there's an old Oliver B. Green sermon, the centurions or the Romans, the soldiers at the cross and how they reacted to Calvary. I love to hear about Calvary. Get thee to Calvary. Get thee to Calvary. You find forgiveness and full release. You find peace and nearness. Get thee to Calvary. The only time it shows up in your Bible, Luke 23:33, and when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, they crucified Him. It's a place. It's a place. You've got to get there. It's a place. You've got to get there. What's holding you back? What's stopping you? How long ago could you have gotten there? For salvation or for restoration of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? How long ago? Get thee to Calvary. Number two, get thee to Kidron. Get thee to Kidron. Now, Brother Ionello preached on it being a place where they would go in Asa's revival and in Jehoshaphat's revival. Jerusalem sits up on a hill. If you're looking at a map, I would encourage you to look at a topographical map and see Jerusalem right here in the valley of Kidron to the east, and then the Mount of Olives comes up out of it. You'd have to cross Kidron to get into the Garden of Gethsemane to get up to the Mount of Olives. So that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did in John chapter 18. He crossed over Kidron. But it's not just a place where they took things. I'm going to skip that part of the notes because Brother Ionello preached that on a Sunday night here. All right, it's a good place to go to cast things out and never withdraw things back from that bank. You go there and cast your things away. That's what happened in those revivals. But there's another thing that you'll find in the 10 Old Testament references, the one New Testament reference, of the brook Kidron and of the valley Kidron. It is a point of no return. Once you cross Kidron, you're not going back. Remember when David had people following him when he was leaving Jerusalem because Absalom had taken the throne? There were people that were following him and then going back. Some were mocking him. Some were doing this or doing that. But anyone that crossed Kidron with him, you couldn't go back. You were officially following David. You were a part of the anarchy with Absalom on the throne. It was a point of no return. Remember when Shimei was one of the guys that gave David some attitude? And then Solomon sat on the throne. And Shimei says, please don't kill me, please don't kill me. And Solomon says, I'll give you grace, but I'll give you confinement. The day you cross Kidron, consider yourself dead. It's a point of no return. When the Lord Jesus Christ was in that upper room and then He had that conversation and that prayer in John chapter 15, 16, 17, where He's walking with the disciples from the upper room down to the Garden of Gethsemane, and He crosses over Kidron into the garden where He prays and is betrayed. It's a point of no return. Once you leave Kidron, you're out of Jerusalem. Once you leave Kidron, you're into Calvary. You're into the Garden of Gethsemane. You're into the tomb. You're into the place. You're out. Once you cross Kidron, what every Christian needs to get to is they need to get to the Valley of Kidron. You know what it's referred to in Joel chapter 3? The Valley of Decision. The Lord's feet touch down there on that Mount of Olives, and that valley just is opened up wide. And it's called a valley of decision. You know what every Christian needs to get to? They need to get to Calvary. Every Christian needs to get to that place where they're saved, their soul is sanctified, blood washed, blood bought, they're heaven bound, but they got one foot in the world and one foot in Christ. One foot on Mount Zion and one foot in Jerusalem. They need to get to Kidron, cross over, and consider themselves dead the moment they do. Just like Shimei. Just like David, you're officially a follower of David, not of Absalom. Christ, not of Antichrist. Christ, not of Satan. You're officially a follower of the King, of the Promised One, the Anointed One. You're officially, everybody knows, in all of their sight, in all of Israel's sight, in all of humanity's sight, you have crossed over Kidron. There's no doubt about it who disciple you are. There's no doubt about it whose follower you are. You have officially gotten to that place where you're not just saved on the inside and secret on the outside. You are on the other side. You've crossed Kidron. This is the brook. This is the crossroads. This is the point of no return. Just as Calvary is a place of full salvation, Kidron is a place of full surrender. It's a place of full surrender. Get thee to Kidron. Full surrender. Are there some things in your life keeping you from full surrender? You know just as well as I do, in order to get to Calvary, you've got to get out of the things that are holding you back from salvation. To get to Kidron and cross over Kidron, are there some things holding you back that you're worried about losing? You've been there before. You've talked to someone recently who doesn't want to give their life to Christ because they're worried about what it's going to cost them. Their music, their friends, their clothes, their television, their whatever it might be, that is not worth it. It is not worth losing what you have when you have the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave His all for us. We can give our music CDs and our social circle and our whatever it is that we might think. What are those things that we have to get out of in order to get unto? Get thee to Calvary. Get thee to Kidron. If you're here tonight and you haven't just totally sold out, remember when the children of Israel with Joshua were getting to the Jordan River? 1 foot in doesn't stop the water. They had to get in with both their feet, all four of them with both their feet, and then the water would be stopped. Are you both feet in so that God can take over and really move? There is nothing in my life that's worth saying, God, no, not that. No, God, no, not that. God, no, not that. God, no, not that. All that thing is a besetting sin, a weight that's keeping me from more blessings. I've got to get to Kidron. That point of no return. That point of no return. Finally, get thee to Canaan land. That's simple, isn't it? That's simple stuff. Simple stuff. Get thee to Calvary. Salvation's simple. Habakkuk 2:2 says, make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. It's simple stuff. Get thee out. Abram, get thee out. The Lord had said, get thee out. And when he was 75, he finally got him out. Could you imagine there being no Isaac in Abram's life? He's a type of blessing, fruitfulness from God. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the blessings that I could have if I would have? Imagine. Three places every Christian needs to get to. In order to get to any of them, they've got to get out. They've got to get to Calvary. I've got to get to Kidron. And I've got to get to Canaan land. Now, Canaan land was where God told Abram to go. But I'm not going to use it as a type for Abram. You can use Canaan land, the promised land, for all kinds of things. Israel still has not inhabited it the way God promised that they would. They're in Genesis 12, 15, and 17. But one of these days they will when the Lord Jesus Christ is there, because He's going to be the reason they get it. Not Abram, not David, not Solomon, not anybody. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ giving the whole thing that was promised through Him. All right? But Canaan land, I want to use it for Moses. For Moses. That was his finish line in life. That was his end goal, Canaan land. He wasn't going to go into Canaan land. He didn't have to defeat any of the armies in there. He just had to get the people to Canaan land. And once he got them to Canaan land, his job was done. You know what I need to get to? I need to get to my finish line. I need to get to my finish line. And until I'm on Mount Pisgah's height, and say goodbye to my sweet hour of prayer. And to this world, until I get to my Mount Pisgah, until I get to whatever, I don't have to lead the children of Israel across the wilderness. But whatever my Canaan land is, I need to get there. And until I get there, and I yield up the ghost, or am called out of here, I've got to get there. And I've got to get there in faithfulness. And I've got to get there as Moses did, in full strength provided by the Lord. I've got to get to Canaan land. And until I'm there, until I hear the rapture sound, or this heart stops beating, and some of you are saying, please Lord, any second. All right, until we get to Canaan land, I've got to keep going. Reminds me of the Sunday school kid who was saying to his teacher, let me get this right. The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. The teacher said, yes, the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. The children of Israel offered all those sacrifices. The teacher said, yes, the children of Israel offered all those sacrifices. The children of Israel built the tabernacle. And the teacher said, yes, the children of Israel built the tabernacle. And the kid said, then what did the adults do? Now, if you've read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you know there weren't very many adults out there, the complaining and the this and the that, but that was his job. That was Moses' calling in life. God prepared him for 40 years in Egypt to be a civic leader, a civil leader, a leader, a governmental head. God prepared him for 40 years in the wilderness to be able to take others through the wilderness and sheep through the wilderness. God prepared him for that. God has prepared you for yours. I can't walk in your shoes. I can't pass through your path. I can't drink from your cup. I can't do it. I'm not given the grace, the strength to be you, for you to be me. God could have had Paul be a grandmother in 2023 in America. He trusted you to do it. This is your calling. This is your vocation. This is what you have been gifted to do. This is what you have been enabled to do. And I'm not naive, and I am not a novice to think that it is easy to be you. We said it yesterday, or one of these days recently. Your health can be fine. Your bank account can be full. And the Satan can just be attacking. And whatever it might be, the attacks on the mind, the attacks on the spirit, the attacks on the health, all the things. I'm not a novice. I know how hard it is to be a good mom, a good wife, a good dad, a good Christian in America in 2023. We play it out that it's easy. It was harder in every other time and easy in our time. It's never been easy. It's never been easy to follow God. It's never been easy to do our thing. But whatever your Canaan land is, and the thing that God has enabled you and called you to do, whether it's as a husband, a wife, a dad, a mom, a soul winner, it's not easy to be a soul winner. It's not easy to be a devout Christian. It's not easy to be serious. It's not easy to be sold out to the Lord. But that's your Canaan land, and every Christian has got to get there. They've got to get there in full strength that the Lord has provided. When Moses got up there, his sandals hadn't worn out. His strength, physical strength hadn't abated. Because of the Lord, not because of Moses, because of the Lord. What the Lord has called you to, the Lord will get you to. What the Lord has called you to, the Lord will get you through. He'll get you there. He'll get you there. What do I need to get out of tonight? Maybe nothing's coming to your mind. Maybe it will tomorrow. Get out of it. Maybe the Lord will come down Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock and He'll say, now I had said this before, get thee out of and get thee unto. And when that moment comes, all I ask you to do is to remember Abram and all that he got for the next 50 years of his life. And all that the Lord blessed him with and still has yet to in the future. It was worth getting out of whatever he had to get out of. It'll be worth it for you to get out of whatever you need to get out of. Get thee to Calvary. You say, I'm already saved. Get thee back. In your mind, in your memory, get thee back. It's a place of redemption. It's a place of reconciliation. It's a place of rest to get back there to the grace afforded at Calvary. Get thee to Kidron. Solomon said to Shimei, the day you cross Kidron, consider yourself dead. Anybody followed David across Kidron? They were officially with him. Get thee to Kidron. You're officially with him. I want everybody in here to know God has called me to preach. I want everybody in here to know God is telling me to be a better husband to my wife. I want everybody in here to know, hey, Pastor, I've got a testimony to give. I'm crossing Kidron. I want everybody to know that I'm crossing Kidron. I'm officially His. I'm officially His. That's what baptism is. It's Kidron. It's crossing Kidron. Get thee to Canaan land. Is there something the Lord has told you to do that you've let slip until that you hear that trumpet sound, until you're taken home, until you're on Mount Pisgah's height? Get thee to Canaan land, whatever your Canaan land is. Pastor.